Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Ephesians. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
And he says, of which, in verse 7, I became a minister or servant according to the gift of grace, of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, in verse 8, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To me, who am less than all the saints. Now, Paul does not have a weird martyr mentality. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm just not really worthy. So, you know, he's not got some weird thing going in his head. He really, and it's interesting, when he gets saved, he realizes that, you know, who God is, who he's not. And he really recognizes that when he gets saved. But you'll notice, the closer he gets to eternity, you find out, it's an interesting progression when you start in his writings from the time he gets saved, and you find out all of a sudden, and this is kind of, we're kind of getting midway here, and he just says, I'm the least. Eventually we get to the conclusion, he says, I'm the chief of all sinners. I've headed this whole thing up, basically, is what he's saying. In other words, his awareness of his own inability to be righteous apart from Christ, his awareness of that became clearer and clearer as he got closer and closer to the presence of the Lord in eternity. So just prior to his death, he says, I'm the chief of all sinners. And so here, midpoint, he just says, I'm to me who am less than the least of all saints. He says, I and yet think of how God's used this guy, the writings we have, the recording, the things that we have from him. It's amazing the perspective that he had, but it was a right perspective. Paul knew that it was really all about God and about his grace, that unmerited love and favor that was shown toward him. And he says, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is this fellowship that God has created one family out of the two families of people, the two people groups? The Jew and the Gentile, to make now the church, make all see what is the fellowship, that bonding of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. One thing I do like about Paul, too, is he kind of writes like I write, really long sentences. He does write that way. He just kind of carry on sentences. I love it. Paul, from the time he gave his life to Jesus Christ, began to search the Lord. As God began to invest in him, he began to dispense. Investment, dispensing, investment, dispensing, investment, dispensing, In other words, God poured into him and he poured out on others. God poured into him, he poured out and invested in others. God poured into him, he invested in others. It was constant. God working through him as he searched out to try and know and understand how God was working in situations and circumstances in the world of during his time. And he takes it from the eternal purposes that God was wanting to accomplish. And that the church, the body of Christ, as these truths are made known, as we're given wisdom, the body of Christ as a whole, and that even the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that this would be revealed to all onlookers, even those, you know, in the eternal realm, all onlookers, that this is part of God's eternal purpose. This is what God purposed, was that there would be this one people, the church, formed out of two people groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, but that all would come under one heading. And I love the fact of diversity in that sense, because being diverse and being different isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. It opens the door to so many different people. We're all unique, and God, you've got your own sphere of influence, people you connect with, people you identify with, people you have hobbies and activities and workplaces and everything, and God wants to use you to connect with those people. That's God's design. That's the way he's made it, and this is his eternal purpose, that there would be this access to have a relationship with God. It was accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom now we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. This whole thing, really, the mystery that's unveiled, if you'll turn with me just a few pages over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul kind of gives us really the key to this. Kind of the same flow. In verse 26, he says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." So he's speaking in the same kind of a time frame as during Ephesians. Now, verse 27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory," of the mystery. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That the fact that Jesus Christ lives within you and lives within me, and because of that, we have the hope of glory. Everlasting life is ours in him. It is a powerful, powerful revelation that has been given. And again, this is God's grace that he has given us, Christ that lives within us, which is the hope of glory. Because of this, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So, therefore, as he kind of wraps this up in verse 13, "I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory." You know, he says, okay, yes, I'm incarcerated right now, but don't lose heart. Don't be all bummed out just because I'm in jail. You know, think about what's happening. Think of the content of what we're reading that then they get as first recipients of this letter, the church in Ephesus, that this letter was written because of the inconvenience of being incarcerated. This letter is being written and then being read, not only by us, by them also, but being read, and he says, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart just because of the situation that I'm in right now. Don't be, oh gosh, you know, now what's going to happen? What's going to happen when this happens? Or what's going to happen?" He says, man, it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. Don't lose heart. You have access to the Father. You can come with boldness and come into his presence. And this is such a radical, radical truth that you and I have access to God. Think of the time that we will spend seeking out, oh, I've got to get some help with this, and I'm so distraught over this matter or that matter, and I'm really struggling about this, and I'm struggling about that, and I don't know what to do, and I'm just overwhelmed, and we'll talk to this friend, and we'll talk to that friend, and we'll go to this counselor, and we'll go to that counselor, and we'll seek out this help, and we'll seek out that help. We'll do everything we can except for get on our knees by ourselves and just talk to God. We will go to marriage counselor after marriage counselor after counsel appointment after counsel appointment, except for get on our knees and hold hands with our spouse and just say, God, help us. Jesus, I don't know what to do. This is a mess. Everything's come unraveled. We will call every friend in every situation when it goes really well. Oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. But do we get on our knees and say, thank you, God, that you brought this about? I think both are important. In Romans, it talks about because that they did not have a thankful heart, because they were not thankful, their hearts were darkened. It actually says their wicked hearts were darkened. I left out the wicked part to make it a little more palatable. But the idea is that, man, because they weren't giving God thanks and thanking him, the darkness starts to set in. I think that's important, you know, when we think about this for ourselves. I have three thoughts that we're just, this is our take home. Things to think about when we get home. Things to work through, kind of devotionally, maybe through the week this week. Three thoughts. The first one, what is your perspective about your circumstance? What is your perspective? And we get that out of that verse 1 of chapter 3. What is your perspective regarding your situation? Because the truth is that God has allowed that circumstance, whatever it might be, because Romans 8:28 hasn't been torn out of your Bible. It shouldn't be yet. If it is, let me know. We'll get you a new Bible. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We either believe it or we don't. The thing is when we're in a trial, right? When we're in a difficult season, when it's challenging, we do have a tendency to doubt. We kind of wonder, well, I don't know. And I mean, some people are maybe much more upbeat and optimistic than some of the rest of us. And high five, praise God, you know. But some of the rest of us, you know, kind of have a wave of doubt now and again about some things. But what's my perspective? Can I go back to the word and stand on his word and know for sure that I know that I know that God knows and that God's allowed this situation to be what it is, but it's for his glory ultimately, for his purpose, and that God wants to work good. God wants to work good. He's not against me. He's for me. He wants to work good in my life, in your life. In our lives, God wants to work good in that difficult, trying, challenging situation. So the first thought, what is your personal perspective? Are you looking at it from your vantage point only, or are you looking at it from God's ability to help you? Two different things, isn't it? My ability to help me is very limited. And that would be, to say the least, very limited. God, as if we're looking to him as the agent to do it, to take care of it, oh my, he spoke the world into being. Now, my perspective is very different if I'm saying, well, God can take care of this. That's a very different perspective than if I'm only looking to me to take care of a situation. The second, so what's your perspective? The second thought, number two, is are we allowing his power to be the agent, to be at work? It's the effective working of his power found in verse 7. When you and I are sharing with someone, whether it's with ourselves or with someone else, whether we're trying to encourage ourselves, which is fine, or we're trying to encourage someone else, whether they're a believer or a non-believer, whether we're sharing the hope of Jesus Christ because someone doesn't know the Lord, or we're just trying to share an encouraging word to someone who does know God but just is struggling, going through something. what are we looking at? Again, the effective working of his power. So it's not so much about you and your ability to be effective, is it? It's the effective working of his power. Again, ties into perspective, but a little bit different. What's your perspective and your circumstance? The second being thought being, are you looking to, or are you letting his effective working, the effective working of his power to come into play? And the last thought, the third one, is remembering that ultimately, we certainly do not want to lose heart. Verse 13, we don't want to lose heart. Whether you're the one in the turbulent times or someone else, you don't want to lose heart because really, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, this brings my circumstances back into an eternal perspective that it's not my situation today. It's an eternal hope that I have. Christ in you. The greatest thing you can ever share is Jesus Christ in you. The greatest thing you can ever help transport, you know, that you can be a part of, praying and encouraging someone, is that, again, think about this. The non-believer, you get to share with them, hey, you too can have hope, no matter what your situation, because Christ can live in you too. So that's the truth, right? That's the hope that we can share with the non-believer. But what about the hope for the believer? The hope for us today as believers, those of you who know Jesus Christ personally, the hope for you and I today is the encouraging word and the reminder that Christ does live within you. Jesus lives within you, and that is your hope and your glory ultimately. And his eternal purposes will not be thwarted. You know, when you go over to Hebrews, the last chapter 13, he talks about contentment. We read this from time to time, but again, as a reminder, being content with such things as we have, you know, he says in verse 5 of chapter 13, let your conduct be without covetousness. Those of you who've been here for a while, I would expect that you probably have little tiny margin notes or highlighters or markings on this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You know, remember what covetousness is. Covetousness is wanting more of what you already have enough of. Wanting more of what you already have enough of. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, don't be trying to have more, which you already have plenty, but be content with such things as you have. So I look at this as circumstantial also. Whatever your circumstance might be, we're to be content in that circumstance, knowing that God's in control and God's allowed that. And this is where it comes into that ability to use the word of God effectively. For he himself has said, Jesus himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That no matter what your circumstance, think about Paul in prison, no matter what his situation, he knew that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That God, that's God's word to you. That's God's word to me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you feel, no matter, because feelings are very deceptive. I can talk myself in and out of things. Feelings are deceptive. So I can feel one way, but the reality of where I'm at is very different. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then it says, so we may boldly say. Now we can speak this promise out. This promise is ours. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, I've got to believe. Now, I personally think Paul wrote Hebrews. It's okay if you don't think that. You can think anybody. I know the Holy Spirit wrote it, and it's put here for a reason. But the idea is I think somebody with experience wrote that. Somebody that's been through some turbulent times. Somebody who's been in some difficulties wrote that. And I bet he went over this time and time again where he would boldly respond because God gave you a promise. Now you can stand on that and repeat that promise back to the Lord saying, God, I know that you said, and I'm gonna trust you. That's a properly used way of a word of faith. That's a proper use, scriptural proper use of the word of faith. Because I think sometimes there's a lot of things that get said about, you know, the word faith movement type concept, and health, you know, prosperity and all this doctrine. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just a proper usage of a word of faith. Sometimes we get these terms and the connotations are these things that are seemingly maybe derogatory to some, but there's a proper use of an understanding of a word of faith. And that is a great example of that for us. It kind of ties into all three of those things that we want to be trusting in and standing on his word, letting God be the final authority in our circumstances. So one, he knows what's happening in your life. Perspective, what's your perspective? Got to know that God knows. Two, man, it's the effective working of his power that's going to bring things to pass. And the last one is, man, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you so much for these truths. We ask that this morning, as we kind of muse on those things throughout the rest of this week, that Lord, you would help us to grow in our relationship with you. And as we read forward for next week's study, as we read forward into Paul's prayer in his heart for those in Ephesus and for other believers, and really what our heart, again, ought to be for one another. And Lord, as we read through that, as we're preparing ourselves for next week's message, Lord, we ask that you would minister to us. Help us to see things, Lord, from your perspective. Lord, we want to trust the effective working of your power. And Lord, we rejoice knowing that it's you living within us that brings hope, both personally for us and for the world around us. Lord, these things have been given to us this day. Lord, we don't want to be a stagnant pond. I ask, Father, that you would come upon each of us, that we might be able to share this truth and this hope with others around us throughout this week and throughout our journey on this earth. Lord, may we share these truths, your grace and mercy that's available to all who will call upon your name. Thank you for that truth. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and he's making himself known, and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.